Good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure to welcome Alex Plant back to our pulpit this morning in Reverend Adam's absence, and we certainly will enjoy your service, we know. Thank you, Alex. Just a session summary for you. We met on Tuesday, April the 14th. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a reading from Psalm 16, which tells us that God is our refuge, treasure, and joy, and that he will not abandon us. Our three new elders, Laura McFadzen, Anita Mack, and Robert Martin, were welcomed to session. At a trustee meeting in 2025, I'm going to give you a little story here, Keppel Barrett was asked to get the roof over Caldwell Hall inspected. So at the session meeting last week, Keppel presented a quote from a local company, which is $180,000 for a new roof. Session asked that at least one more quote be secured, and so once that has happened, a group of people are kind of looking into this at this point. Once that all happens, we're going to bring some more information back to you on how we'll proceed. Session also received a quote for some masonry work. I don't know if you've noticed out on the west laneway, there is some stone pulling away from the new section, just outside the offices. So a quote for masonry work was secured, and there are we got a quote from a company called Summit Masonry, and the cost of this project will be between $8,000 and $10,000. And so thank you very much to Nick Cox's generosity. We were able to find the funds to make that happen, and the work will be completed this year. Session is looking for a volunteer to be the convener for the celebrations that will take place in 2027, which are our 240th anniversary and our 100th anniversary for the organ. If you're interested in this task, please speak to Reverend Adams. Our thanks goes to Keppel Barrett, who will serve as representative elder to Presbytery, and to John Adams and Anita Mack, who will serve as alternate. Michelle Alexis reported that the Worship and Music Committee is hoping that everyone will attend the McGaughey Organ Concert on Friday, May 4th, and this year we promise that it will be relatively warm in the sanctuary. The tech team at the back is urgently seeking volunteers for Sunday mornings, and so if you are willing to help with this endeavor, please speak to Dan Plant. I reported that Rob Beaton, our office administrator slash bookkeeper, has requested that his hours be reduced of the bookkeeping side and that we hire a new bookkeeper. Rob will continue in the role of office administrator, and so a hiring team is in place, and we have received over 15 resumes, which we have already reviewed. A shortlist has been created, and it is hoped that the new bookkeeper will be in place before the end of April. Regarding the 2025 budget reconciliation and the 2026 proposed budget, John Matthews, our finance chair, will be working with Vina Turkey, who was our previous bookkeeper, who has agreed to come in on evenings and weekends to complete the tasks needed to get 2025 done. Once the new budget is established, we will call for a congregational meeting, which will finish what we didn't finish at the annual meeting, and we'll review the financials at that point. So it shouldn't be too much longer. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship here at St. John's Presbyterian Church. It is an honor and a privilege to be leading you in worship this morning, and of course, a good morning to those who are joining us on the live stream or watching a recording later on. As we gather for worship, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign and reminder that Christ is ever present with us as we worship. I invite you to join me in the responsive call to worship. The words will appear before you on the screens. Christ has called us from all walks of life to witness the good news.
We gather this day seeking his holy light.
We have come to hear the wisdom of Scripture.
We gather in this place to learn, hope, and pray.
We have come to discover the one revealed by the divine resurrection. Come, let us worship God made known in Christ Jesus. Let us take this moment to approach God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we gather together in this place, seeking to praise your most holy name. You are the source of all that is good, shining brightly in every part of creation. You designed our hearts to love. You breathed life into the souls that carry out your will, and you inspire our minds to seek your wisdom. You are infinite, eternal, and unchanging, filled with compassion and grace, abundant in truth and peace. And so we praise you as Creator, Christ, and Spirit, freely granting us salvation through Christ's death and resurrection. This we proclaim with humble hearts, joyous spirits, and curious minds. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 438, When Morning Gilds the Skies. The words will appear before you on the screens. Let us join our hearts and voices together as we say the prayer of confession. The words will be on the screens. Loving God, we confess that our hearts stray from your path. Your resurrection ushers in a new era of hope, yet we seek comfort in human ways. We have allowed ourselves to sin against you, failing to uphold your calling. Forgive us, O merciful God. Forgive our selfish actions, transform us through your resurrection, and align our hearts to your holy path. Inspire us to follow your example, and bless our lives as instruments of your glorious will. This we pray in your most holy name. Amen. Hear now this assurance of pardon. When Jesus willingly gave his life for our salvation, those who witnessed that death were discouraged and distracted, mourning the loss of a teacher, a friend, and a savior. Little did they know, death could not keep Christ away. When Jesus spoke to those at the tomb, their hearts were transformed by his grace. So too for us, our hearts are transformed by God's grace, cleansing us of our wrongdoing. So take courage. God forgives us. May peace and new life inspire us to forgive ourselves and one another. Amen. Let us take this time to turn to our neighbor and share a time of greeting by passing the peace of Christ. Let us join together in singing hymn number 641, One More Step Along the World I Go. Would you like to pop down, or are you staying up? Yeah. Good morning. How are you two this morning? Are you enjoying the snow? Yes and no. Oh my. It's a little bit snowy this morning, in case you're not from in the area, and it's always a little bit of a surprise. You always try to think, oh, April is here. April showers bring my flowers. But no, not today. But that's okay, because we are nice and toasty warm in here, and we are in a joyous celebration because Easter has happened. Did you have a good Easter?
Yeah.
Was there lots of chocolate?
Yes.
Chocolate's always nice to have on Easter time. Today we're going to be talking about something called pay it forward. Have you heard of that term before? So what do you think it means, pay it forward? What does paying something usually mean? Buying something, right? You give something to someone and you get something back in return, right? So pay it forward, instead of buying something, is you're doing something nice for someone else, you're paying it to someone. But then that person then takes that kindness, that good act, and pays it forward to someone else rather than paying it back, right? So instead of paying it backward where you're going back to the person that gave it to you in the first place, you pay it forward to someone new. What are the kinds of things that we could do that would be nice for someone? Maybe like hold open a door? that they can walk through without having to open it themselves, or maybe passing a book along to someone. If we have hymn books and they don't have one, you can pass it along to someone, right? And so up here today for the adults, we're going to be thinking about what that means, because Jesus paid for us through Easter, and now it's our turn to pay it forward, and we're going to be learning about what that means for us. I know the Sunday school is doing something a little different related to Earth Day. Yeah. So you're going to be celebrating Earth Day, which is always a fun little day to remind ourselves of caring for the planet and the world that we live in. And so, yeah, hop on down to Sunday school, enjoy your time, and we will see you at the end of the service. Let us gather our hearts for the prayer of illumination. Let us pray. Living God, you speak to us in sacred story, sharing your words of wisdom through friendship and conversation. As we meditate on your holy word, send your spirit to clear our minds, opening ourselves to your will as we encounter your truth through Christ our risen Lord. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 to 6. Let us hear the word of God. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you, for he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste place and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will be never ended. The responsive psalm this morning is Psalm 34, 1 to 10. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad.
O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears.
Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed.
This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord. From every trouble.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them.
O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him.
O fear the Lord, you, his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want.
The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
And from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 to 23. If you invoke as Father the one who judges impartially according to each person's work, live in fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile conduct inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your trust and hope are in God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual affection, love one another deeply from the heart, You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. And Luke 24, 13 to 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?'"
Let us gather together in song, singing hymn number 498, "Sing Them Over Again to Me." The words will appear before you on the screens. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, now and always. Amen. How generous are you? How generous should you be? Where do we draw the line between hoarding and impoverishment? It's an interesting question raised by recent events in the church calendar. Christ has died, giving his life to reconnect humanity to God, paying the ultimate price for sin. No longer are we chained, disconnected from God by our ancestral link to disobedience. We have received a precious gift, one that provides us with the opportunity to renew and realign ourselves with God. What are we to do with this gift? One concept that was popularized in the modern age is paying it forward. The concept has existed for thousands of years and is even found in the Bible, specifically in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, that includes Jesus' parable of the unforgiving servant, where the servant owes a lot of money to a king, the king forgives the servant, but then another servant owes the first servant money, and the servant's like, no, pay me my money now, not bothering to pass on the mercy that he had once received. That led the servant being caught out and tortured until the initial debt was paid off. And rather than showing that same kindness to someone else, rather than paying that mercy forward, the servant chose the selfish path. And of course, there are many modern examples of paying it forward today. Whether it's real-life examples like paying for someone's meal at a restaurant or paying someone's tuition at university could be quite profound, or perhaps found in novels and movies. Paying it forward, the 2000 film, for example. The spirit of generosity is promoted in a way that passes along that kind act to another individual, rather than it attempting to repay the original person. Of course, there's nothing wrong with repaying kindness to the original person, especially if it's in a different way or if that kindness is needed. It's also important for that kindness to be extended out as far as possible. One of the more viral forms of paying it forward came from the restaurant industry, specifically a case from 2014, where a Starbucks in Florida experienced a chain of kind acts from customers paying for one another's drinks. From 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., 378 orders were paid for one after the other. As each person went through the drive-thru to place their order, they received their drinks at no cost. And in return, the person decided to pay for the next person's drink. The chain was broken by a customer who chose to pay for their own drink rather than accepting the offer. Then customers tried to restart the chain the next day. This time, the chain reached 160 orders before it was brought to an end by a customer who purposely tried to stop it. Now, on the surface, it sounds a bit like a terrible thing. But when we listen to the reason why they did it, it raises an interesting question about generosity. Quoting from an article from the Tampa Bay Times, the customer who ended the chain said the following: "What is not an act of kindness is what was happening today at the same Starbucks where customers were being told that they had their drink paid for and then asked would they like to pay for the drink of the person next in line. That's not generosity, that's guilt. When a new pay-it-forward chain started today, I had to put an end to it. So yes, I drove to the Starbucks, purchased two Frappuccinos, and even though someone in front of me had paid for one of my drinks, I declined the barista's suggestion to pay for the drink of the person behind me." It's interesting that this act of paying it forward was initially described as a spontaneous act, offering to pay for the next person's drink, not prompted by a staff member or by another customer. It was simply a desire to share that kindness with another person, a stranger that would normally go unnoticed into everyday life. Yet the next day, customers were being prompted to pay it forward. The customer that ended the chain labeled it as guilt. And of course, the spokesperson for the company said that there was no expectation for the customer to carry on the chain of paying it forward. Yet that question, the prompt, "Would you like to pay for the drink of the person next in line?" is an opportunity to explore and understand what it means to be generous. We here at St. John's are made up of all kinds of people. Some have skills in planning, others in technology. Some have connections that allow us to fundraise for projects, and others have skills in baking or music. This diverse collection of skills is such a blessing because it provides us the opportunity to serve in so many different ways. If everybody's primary method of supporting the church was giving thousands of dollars every week, I'm sure that would look great for the budget, but what about the life of the church? There's nobody to lead worship, nobody to run the sound system, nobody to play music, nobody to put coffee on in the morning, just a place where people throw thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and just kind of throwing money at the problem. And certainly, you know, it's nice to have the ability to have that financial resource to help put on projects and to facilitate our work at the church. But it's not the only thing that we do here. Throwing money at the problem is never a solution. It's part of the process, but it's not the ultimate goal. Generosity comes in all kinds of different forms and in all kinds of different sizes. We remember from Mark's gospel where Jesus watched as the poor widow gave her two copper coins, a pittance compared to the grand gestures of donors who are giving large amounts of money. Yet the poor widow was noticed by Jesus. Imagine how that poor widow must have felt, seeing all the people around her giving sacks of coins, and here she is with just her two measly copper coins. If I were in that position, I would certainly feel inadequate. What is my donation compared to someone else's grand gesture? Am I doing enough? Am I saving enough to give to the poor? What am I doing wrong? Because my donation is such a small size, and those feelings of questions and doubts start festering. But it's important to remember that giving is never a competition. It should never be prompted or forced. It's one of the reasons why we have envelope numbers. We don't write down our names on the envelope and put it in the plate. And then the offering people go look and they go, "Oh, look, Mr. So-and-so only gave $20, but Mrs. So-and-so gave $100. Oh." We don't do that. We have envelope numbers. And that anonymity allows us to be able to give generously from where we are. Because not everybody is a millionaire. Everybody gives in their own unique way. Of course, we don't discourage large donations. Just look at literally any wall in this sanctuary and you will see the proof of large donations, whether it's windows or plaques or even the pew numbers in your pew one day at a time. One day in the past, people used to pay for their pews. And some people paid large sums of money for those pews. The evidence of giving is all around us. But that doesn't make the smaller contributions any less worthy. Those large gifts are appreciated and cherished. And when we give our time and our money, no matter how big or small or little or large, it is important to remind ourselves that that too is appreciated and cherished. It's not a competition. Our generosity is not Google's profit margin aiming higher and higher. But instead, we are called to give from a genuine desire to fulfill our Christian mission, to emulate Christ. The end goal should never be trying to fulfill some sense of superiority or placing expectations on ourselves or others to be generous in the same way. Jesus' generosity cannot be even compared to the combined sum of the entire history of humanity put together. Doesn't even compare. He gave up his life freely and without reservation so that we may be fully reconnected to God. Jesus does not call us to make a bigger and grander gesture than he does. He does not expect us to crucify ourselves. Our generosity doesn't have to reach a certain dollar amount or a certain amount of hours before God is happy with us. We are called to give as we are able. Not all of us have the ability to play an instrument, but those of us that do have the opportunity to aid our worship on Sunday morning through music. So too with our financial contributions. There's a difference between giving generously and giving under pressure. When the customer went out of their way to end the chain of paying it forward, they didn't do so because they hated being kind to others. They saw that the people were being pressured, and they felt that it was wrong. Christ was not pressured to be generous. He ministered to thousands of people without asking and without prompting. He simply served. He fed crowds of people. He taught, he healed, he raised from the dead. All of those things he didn't have to do. And then in the very end, he sacrificed himself, serving as the ultimate example of generosity. This entire Easter season is centered on his sacrifice and resurrection, freeing us from death. Christ gave himself up, not by paying a sum of money, but through his own flesh and blood. We were once kept away from God by the sins of our ancestors living selfish lives, pursuing their own goals. The passage in 1 Peter calls it ransomed, rescued from the chains that bonded us, kept us from being with God. Christ sacrificed himself freely to allow us to follow him back to God, allowing us to trust in his sacrifice because it's not from a place of greed or expectation, but because it's a free gift given by the glory of God. We have been set free. Now what do we do with this freedom? Are we to go back to the way things were, ignoring this miraculous act, or do we take this gift and make the most of it? We are not called to hoard our freedom for ourselves or for the select few that we deem worthy. Our gift is not designated for a particular group of people. It's not given in the expectation that we use it for a particular purpose or for a defined person. Our salvation rooted in Christ is for everyone. And in that freedom, we are called to be obedient to Christ's truth, that his salvation comes at no cost to anyone. So too, our calling to follow Jesus Christ's truth to love one another deeply from the heart should not and must not have a cost or a condition. Jesus' instructions are clear. Love God with all your heart and love one another as yourself. There's no terms and conditions, no asterisk or fine print, no specification, no ifs, ands, or buts. Just love, freely given. We are called to love, not to one-up each other or to set records. We are called to love with genuine mutual affection. When the opportunity to give arises, whether it's money or time or talent, forget everybody else that's in the room. Pretend that you are the only person in this room and that you're having a one-on-one conversation with God. And allow yourself to give deeply from your own heart. It doesn't matter what your neighbor does. If they give $100, $1,000, $10,000, it doesn't matter. What you do, what you are able to give, is what matters to God. Your definition of generous and your amount will be different than everyone else, and that's okay. Like the widow giving 2 copper coins, we are called to give everything that we have. It's not about the amount or even the way it's done. It's about the authenticity. Our calling as Christians is rooted in the genuine desire to worship God with generous hearts, not to have the shiniest reputation or to have the biggest plaque on the wall, even though there are some pretty large plaques on the wall it doesn't really matter. My contribution this morning, for example, it'll live in some archive somewhere online or in the archives, but 100 years from now, they might not know. There are people, generations before all of us, that have given money and time and talents to building this congregation. Most of the time, we don't think about them because they're lost to history. But their acts of generosity are still valued, even if we don't think about it that often. And so, Christ calls upon us to look within ourselves and to witness the generosity of Christ's resurrection bestowed upon us. Let us take that generosity and pay it forward, not through expectation or because I just told you to do so, but because God compels us to love one another unconditionally. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in understanding what it means to be a Christian in a world that is seemingly surrounded by greed and selfish isolationism. If you received an act of generosity, pay it forward in a way that is genuine to you. If you receive an act of hatred or selfishness, take it to God in prayer and allow Him to transform it into generosity and then go forth and pay that generosity forward. Christ's sacrifice has given us new life, untouchable by death, imperishable by temporal powers, and completely indestructible. So let us take courage and comfort in God's generosity and pay it forward. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our affirmation of faith comes from Living Faith 3.6, Salvation in Christ. It is responsive, and the words will be on the screens. Salvation comes from God's grace alone, received through faith in Christ. From all eternity and through no merit on our part, God calls us to life in Christ. Here is the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ is the elect one, chosen for our salvation. We are made accessible to God. Before the world was made, we were chosen in Christ to be part of the family of God. We are called for a purpose. We have been predestined to be like Christ and to serve God. As with Israel in the Old Testament, so with the new humanity in the New Testament, God chooses us. There is assurance in knowing that the living God has eternal purposes to achieve through us. God will bring the completion of work of grace begin in us. And as we continue celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are reminded of how generous God is to us. Christ's sacrifice freed us from the grip of sin, allowing us to live lives of generosity and gentleness. God has blessed us with a bounty of love, and so we take this time to offer to God our gifts with gratitude. Let us now present our tithes and offerings.
Broken through.
Generous God, you have bestowed upon us the gift of creation, filled with life, purpose, and opportunities of service. As you gather in this place, we offer our gifts, talents, and resources to carry out your will in the world. We offer this not for selfish gain or better favor, but because we seek to facilitate your work in our community. Bless these gifts to the people of this community. May it be used to uphold the mission and vision of your holy church, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ through service and love. Amen. Let us gather together in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, you have granted us salvation through the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. His resurrection is witnessed by many generations who feel lost and insecure about the road that lays before them. You journeyed with your disciples, guiding them on the path of righteousness. In this time and place, your people face challenge and uncertainty. We seek purpose and promise, and in your glorious defeat of death, you have provided all that we need and more. We pray that you continue to walk alongside your people in a spirit of faith and hope, granting mercy and grace this day. We give thanks for your selfless act, granting salvation for all. You call us to go out into the world to proclaim the good news, not just in our words, but also in our deeds. We recognize the struggles that people go through. We give thanks for the relationships we form with one another, and we acknowledge those who are struggling to form their relationships. Inspire your people to seek one another, breaking down barriers in the pursuit of love rooted deep in compassionate kindness. In that spirit of compassionate kindness, we give thanks for your gift of creation. We acknowledge that many parts of our world are endangered due to selfish desires, and so we take this moment to pray for our home. Inspire us to make healthy choices as we live on this planet, coexisting with plants and animals that make this world what it truly is, a reflection of your perfect will. And as we continue our lives in this world, we acknowledge the barriers that people face, whether economic uncertainty, political strife, or loss of employment. We pray for those fighting for their place in society, making ends meet, and working toward a healthy and stable life for themselves and their families. May our values be aligned with your values, inspiring generosity in the face of greed and hope in the place of fear. We pray for all those who are undergoing medical treatments and those who do not have access to medical care. Send your healing spirit to those who suffer. Bless the medical staff and facilities who strive to care for the sick and injured, and draw us toward your desire for equality and equity. Show us the path of generosity and grant us the opportunities to give with our whole hearts. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who gave up his life freely for us and who gave us the prayer taught to his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 655, Lord Jesus, You Shall Be My Song. The words will appear before you on the screens. Mm-hmm. Just as Christ has generously given his life for us, so too are we called to share generously. So go out into the world, share the good news of the gospel, and be generous with your love for one another and for God. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. May Christ the Lord inspire you with love and compassion. And may the Holy Spirit guide you this day and forevermore. Amen.